Be seated, please. Sometimes I stand here and whine to you about how lousy the readings are, in my humble opinion, and that there's nothing to wring a sermon from within them. And today it's the opposite. It's, as I've also said before, an embarrassment of riches. They could have spread some of these out to those other Sundays. The third step in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and the hundreds, actually Wikipedia tells me over 200 descendants of that program, is made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Or as many of us say these days, God as we understood God, avoiding even the masculine gender on that pronoun. Sounds pretty close in my book to today's collect. Oh God, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Today's readings seem to point toward asking God for help with forgiveness, from Jacob's instruction to Joseph in Genesis to Jesus' answer to Peter's question about, do I have to forgive someone seven times? And Jesus says, not seven, but 77, and goes on to make the point by recounting an illustrative story, a parable about forgiveness. The Psalm and Romans also touch on that topic. There's a whole sermon in that, obviously, but I'm not going there, not full on, at least today. The collect and these forgiveness-focused readings prompted me to think, I wonder what the readings are in the other 2 years of our three-year cycle. As you know, we do readings from Scripture over a three-year period and then start that cycle again. The collect remains the same for every Sunday of the year, no matter when the Scripture changes. So, I'll look forward to next year at this time, year B, as it is so elegantly labeled. All the readings deal with the question of wisdom and learning in some form or another. Thus, the implication of the collect is to ask God to direct our development in those areas, to help us become wiser and better, well, educated, I would say, in the broadest sense of that term. Next, I look backward to last year. You've already guessed, I'm sure, it was year C. The readings deal generally with straying from the path. Episode of the golden calf during the Exodus and searching for lost sheep in the gospel. In other words, asking God to direct our steps when we stray, turning our will and our lives over to God's care. We all agree, I'm sure, that it's a worthy endeavor. And more than an endeavor, it's more of a worthy letting go and allowing God to operate in us. But when it comes down to specific cases, converting that good intention into action, it takes on a different hue. In 12-step circles, some people talk about moving from surrender in the first three steps, such as into action, such as identifying people we have harmed and making amends to them and carrying the message of recovery to others, and ultimately to adopting a spiritual approach to life. Our readings, even expanding our view to all 12 readings over that three-year cycle, do not offer an exhaustive list. We'd like to say, okay, this and this and this, we're covered. But actually, I can imagine some literal-minded Christian thinking, well, I've forgiven this person 76 times, only one more to go and I'm off the hook. I can almost imagine myself doing something like that, looking for a loophole in the ongoing, pervasive, absolute law of love which Christ proclaims and has embodied. The Collect and our Lord's life and ministry show us that such a bean-counting approach, 76, 77, to our faith, particularly faith in action, is not what our Lord intended. In fact, it is precisely the kind of mindset he came to oppose. Again and again, both explicitly, love God, love your neighbor, and implicitly, in all his teachings and interactions, he came to us and comes to us to urge us to invite God to direct and rule our hearts. And then to follow that direction, whether we like it or not. So these special circumstances in our readings are meant to be examples of how a spirit-directed, love-motivated life will be lived. This is just on the verge of beginning to sound like the kind of sermon I tend to run from, a diatribe on morality, a pulpit-pounding way of saying, do the right thing, don't be bad. Not that there's anything wrong with doing the right thing and avoiding the bad. I'll go on record for that. But it's not that kind of sermon, or it's not what I intend. What our collect, and more importantly, our Lord is asking, perhaps demanding of us, is total conversion of our hearts. To seek Christ in all persons, as we say in our baptismal covenant. Not to ask God for what is expedient or even acceptable, but to help us to determine what is most loving in every aspect of our lives. It's a lot harder than what does the law say here? Finally, what we pray for is to be willing to seek God's direction, and then to be willing to carry that out, even when it's uncomfortable or worse. Thanks be to God, these readings today point not only on how forgiving we should be, but also how utterly forgiving God is with us, recognizing our humanity and our inevitable failures as we seek to follow this God-directed path. God forgives us so that we can move forward rather than being stuck in our guilt or shame. So we can choose one of these expressions or even another one of our own devising that leads us in the same way, make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand God. Or, O God, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. And above all, to be grateful that God hears us and helps us to make our way along this path. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.